If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 5 as we go through the book of Acts chapter by chapter, verse by verse. A church has opened up in our community and they sent me a mailer. I'll leave the name anonymous, but here's the advertisement for the church. A church your entire family will enjoy. Upbeat music, fun for kids and kids program, relevant message and authentic people. Everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect and anything is possible. Now, all of that is true, but nowhere in this advertisement was come and learn the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come and learn what God has called us to do in the Bible. But their focus is on upbeat music, fun for kids, and authentic people. And my prayer is that we come to church to learn the truth. We come as a body of believers to worship our Lord in praise and in song with pure and contrite hearts, and that our desire is to know the truth. What did he tell us, and what does it mean to us, and how do we apply it to our lives? And we see here in the very beginning of the church that there's a couple that comes to church, and this is just the very beginning. They sold the things that they had. Everyone who was in need was provided for. Now, why was that? Well, remember, they were outcasts from their community. They were outcasts because they followed this man called the Christ. They couldn't work. They couldn't do anything. They had needs. And so those who were well off sold their possessions and brought them to the church, and they gave to those who were in need. Sounds great, right? But there was a couple that came, and they held back some of the money. Now, that wasn't the sin. Matter of fact, they could have kept it all. They didn't have to give it or sell their property at all. And yet, they felt the need to lie. They felt the need to lie. And, just for an illustration purposes, and I know we have some comedians in the church, but somebody left a half a 20 in the tithe box. That means you kept the other half for yourself. Now, remember what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, right? So I'm just saying, if you have the other half of this 20, you better put it in the box. I'm just saying, I'm not Peter, but if we know the story, seriously, I didn't make this up. This is a half a 20. And so, and you can't fool me because there's a serial number on this side. So if that's you, just repent and give the other half up. God is serious. And we've come to take everything for granted. Even our walk with the Lord, even what we do in church, the body should be standing up and saying, Pastor, this is what we want. We want the word. We want the truth. We don't need the lights and the smoke screen and mirrors. We want to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are many churches that are doing that. I'm not putting everyone down. But the ones that have the larger platforms in the world we see are not. And why is that? Well, they're drawing the people for that very reason. Upbeat music, entertainment. Come. And so, right in the beginning, God had judged this couple. They were struck dead right there. He comes in. Peter says, is this all you got? He says, yep. He drops dead right there. His wife comes in 3 hours later. Now, that's a miracle that nobody told her. They didn't get on their cell phone. Oh, did you hear what happened to your husband? That was a miracle that she didn't know. And she comes in and he says, is this what happened? And she agreed. She lied just like her husband. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were struck dead right there. And their sin was hypocrisy and lying. Things are not always as they seemed, and particularly in the realm of the spirituality. We all want to look good, right? We want to show up. We have the lingo. Praise the Lord, brother. We have the lingo. We know sometimes the verses. We're carrying a Bible we may never have opened. And hopefully that's not you. But we want to look the best, certainly for our peers and those around us. But things are not always as they seem. Stories told of a painting sold at an auction for thousands of dollars. The picture portrayed a monk sitting on a table with a prayer book in his hands and his hands folded in posture of prayer. And upon a closer look, the buyer discovered that the prayer book was not a book at all. But it was a shallow pan, and the hands that were folded seemingly in prayer actually were holding a lemon. And thus, the picture portrayed not a monk praying, but a man squeezing lemons. And so often we think, my, that person is so spiritual. But upon closer look, it proves to be a bitter, sour soul. And this is precisely what happened in our text with Ananias and Sapphira. Apparently, wanting to fit in and seem spiritual, they sold their property and they laid the proceeds at the feet. And both of them were struck dead, as we spoke about. And Corson says it wasn't death, a rather extreme penalty for fibbing, right? When we would say that, right? Oh, it seems so harsh. But God wanted right up front to purify the church. That we wouldn't come in with our own objective. It's a new kingdom. It's a new world. The kingdom world with Christ walking, empowered by his Spirit. You know, when he sent the Israelites into the promised land, he said, don't take up any of their idols. Don't get involved with anything of them. Matter of fact, kill them all right there so that you wouldn't be influenced by the world that you're entering. And it seems today that the church is mingling with the world, trying to fit in with the world, to draw the world. There's no power in that. We're to be separate, set apart from the things of the world. There's a big move in the world with climate change, and I'm all for clean water, clean air, and such. But if we look at Ukraine today, it was a beautiful city. It kind of looked like Sweden. I haven't been to Ukraine, but I've been to Sweden. And it was just a beautiful city, and everyone there was saying, oh, yeah, this is wonderful. Putin's not going to invade. This isn't going to happen. And they all stayed there, and they all waited. And they never thought it would happen. And within days, look at it today. Devastated, ruined, gone. And that's going to be a picture of the world. The world now, physical world and spiritual world, is waiting for destruction. That's what the Bible tells us. So don't put your hope in the world system, the world body, but put your hope in Jesus Christ, because only he will remain forever. He is our foundation, and he's who we stand upon. And so the answer lies in the principle of precedence that says God will make a strong statement at one point in time to be remembered at and applied to all points in time. Let me read that to you again. God will make a strong statement at one point in time to be remembered and applied to all points in time. So in the book of Joshua, chapter 9, it's an example. You don't have to turn there. But after a wandering the wilderness for 40 years, the children of Israel were at last ready to enter this promised land with great excitement and anticipation. They crossed the Jordan River only to find a fortified city of Jericho. But the Lord miraculously delivered them as the walls came tumbling down. You know the story, right? The walls came tumbling down. There's a couple songs with that. And the Lord instructed them, don't take anything from Jericho. Other cities you can spoil, but let this city be a sacrifice to me. That's in Joshua 6, 18 through 19. And all of Israel obeyed except one man. His name was Achan. And he grabbed the goods and he hid them under the floor in his tent. And at the Israelites' next battle of Ai, they were defeated. They were brutally beaten. God once tore down the walls in Jericho. Now they go into this next battle thinking they got it all together, and they are defeated. And the question would be why? And God informed the prophet Joshua that there was sin in the camp and that one who sinned was to be put to death. Joshua 7, 15. And so in this new land that God had wanted to reveal from the very outset, how deadly serious he was about sin. Sin is something the churches don't talk about. But sin is the very reason why Christ came. And we are so numbed today about sin. It's a picture of leprosy, right? Leprosy numbs the senses, numbs the nerves, so that you don't know that your skin is rotting away. And it ultimately could kill. Well, the same thing with sin. It's so normal and so natural in this natural fallen world. And if we're not careful, listen, we could just blend right into. We could be living as the world lives. Nobody will know, right? We'll look good at church, but we'll leave here and we'll be powerless because we're walking in the flesh. And so God wanted them to know about the importance of sin. And so right from the beginning in the church, he wanted them to know how serious he was about sin. And these people lied and they were struck dead. Seems harsh, but that's the reason. You know, when the sacrifices happened, when the altar was put up, they would bring a lamb, a pure, you know how cute lambs are? They're so cute. They taste good too, but they're really good. I mean, they're so pretty. A lamb is so beautiful, and it's brought to the altar, and it's slaughtered. And the priest would put his hand on the lamb and his hand on the person. And through this sacrifice, which is a picture of what Christ would do, forgiveness would come, the atonement would come for their sins. Now, that lamb didn't do anything. But that's how serious sin is. Sin kills. And that is our message to the world, to repent. To repent of your sins. And so in the church, we need to judge in the church. We don't judge outside the church. The world is going to do what the world does, right? We can sit back and say, oh, can you believe they did this? Yeah, yeah. I used to do that too when I was a heathen, right? I was one of those. I went there, did that, and said this. I was one of those. And Paul says, you too were one of those at one time, but now you have been cleansed from your sin because of the blood of Christ. And this is why Jesus says in the upper room when they're preparing for the Passover lamb, remember what I've done. I have been slaughtered for you. I am that lamb who takes away the sins of the world. He takes away your sins. Wow. And listen, things are spiraling very fast in the world today. As you see, Iran has fired 12 rockets at U.S. Territories in the neighborhood there. They have shot some missiles into Israel. And we've seen what's happened in Ukraine. Everyone's getting emboldened, right? And so things are going to happen just as we've been told. Are you ready for that? And what do? Do we take up arms as believers? No. What do? We pray. We put the armor of God on and then we stand in prayer. And we pray that through these situations that the world would see and that the preachers would teach that these things were we were told about. We were told about Russia. We are told that Israel will be attacked. We don't know if Putin is the Gog. He may be taken out between now and then. Gog, G-O-G, which is a leader position. Ezekiel 38, where they come in and invade Israel. Where are we? We're probably not here for that event, but we certainly won't be here for the revelation of the Antichrist. Now, there's many people looking for that, and I've told you before, I have some friends that say, man, I know who it is. I'm like, really? Does God know you know who it is? Because he told us in his word that you wouldn't know who he is, right? We won't know because we won't be here. Now, what is holding back evil from just unfolding like at will right now? The Spirit of God that dwells within you. You are. The church is holding back these demonic forces. And that's why once we are taken out, harpazoed, raptured. The word rapture is not in there. The Greek word is harpazo. It means to be snatched away in a twinkling of an eye. The Lord will appear in the clouds with a trumpet shout. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And those who remain, the church, will be taken away. Chaos happens. Because there's no light. There's no spiritual light on the earth. Now, I'm excited to tell you, listen, that you don't have to worry about the Antichrist. You don't have to worry about the plagues and the wrath of God that's going to fall upon this fallen world. Because those who believe are not appointed unto that wrath, that judgment. Now, there are many who say, well, no, we're going to be here for it. That's not a blessed hope. It's going to be chaos. This is what we're told. 58% of the population will be eliminated, destroyed through the judgments that will come. And then eventually the rest. And so we as believers won't be here. But listen, we have a message of hope and life for those who will remain. Certainly for those who will come to know Jesus today. And that happens by you giving your testimony about what God has done in your life, how great he is and how powerful he is and how much, listen, how much he loves you. Christianity isn't all about death and crosses. It's about joy and hope and walking with the Lord in spite of what's happening around us, right? In spite of, we can have that joy and peace to know, listen, God's told me what's going to happen. I don't need to worry. He has made promises, and we hold fast to the promises of God. And so here, right from the very beginning, there's a lesson. The lesson of hypocrisy will rob you of your grace and your beauty. That's what Sapphira means, grace and beauty. And so here, what is she remembered as? A liar. She's remembered not of all the good works she might have done, but that she failed. And God judged her. We want to finish well. And I want my mic to finish well, too. We want to finish well. We don't want to be ashamed. We want to come before the Lord. And listen, it happens every day. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a man, you shave your face. Well, women don't shave their face. Well, some of you may, but I'm just saying, if you shave your face, you know, the next day, there's hair there. You got to treat it. Like, that's what sin does, right? We look great today, but tomorrow we're challenged again. And that sin rises up, and we need to fight it. We need to deny. And listen, I fail just as like you fail. I'm victorious just like you're victorious. It's a battle. Don't think because you're challenged by sin that you failed. No, everyone is. Paul says, man, things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing them. What a wretched man that I am. You ever feel that way? I do. But I have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ. And I go to him, and he forgives, and he forgets, and we move on. We get up. Although we fall, we get up. And we come to him with this childlike faith. You remember when your kids started walking, or you know, you'd help the baby up and the baby would start walking, then fall, and the father doesn't say, "Ha, I knew you couldn't do it." No, he doesn't do that at all. He knows that you're gonna fall and he picks you up, "Come to me." We come with a childlike faith. That means dependency upon the Lord. Dependency to walk this life as a Christian in this fallen world. A dependency and trust that he knows best for me, and that he wants the best for me, and that he will continue to care for me, and he will one day call me home. And as we sang, I will rise. Amen. With eagle's wings. That's your hope. It's a blessed hope. It's not a hope of judgment. But listen, we cannot be effective in our walk with the Lord if we're walking in sin and trying to hide it. Bring it to the light. Bring it to the Lord. Confess. And so your motivation is everything. Only what is done out of adoration for Christ and love for him will last and remain, right? So they didn't sell the stuff for the love of Christ and the love of the people. They did it because they wanted to look good. And they kept some back. Oh, let us not be us. Let us not come to church so we're seen or heard, but that we want to love on people. We want to worship God. The church is a body of believers that come together to worship their King and to study what he's told them to do and the promises that he's given us. In churches today, it's become a house of entertainment for the lost. That's not what the church was about. In fact, right here in our text, these are all Jews. There's no Gentiles here at this point. Not yet. They'll come. But the gospel message has come to those who would believe. And it's not that we would turn back to our old ways. Oh, that old man wants to rise up, doesn't he? And how does that work? As soon as you get out of here today, somebody's going to cut you off. And that's your test. Where you used to do sign language at one time, now you're just, all right, go ahead. Right? Sign language. What happened to you? Oh, I had the peace of Christ. It really doesn't matter. That person may be in a rush. They may need to get somewhere more important than I am going. And so something's happened. Something's changed. We want to love the Lord. We want to walk in purity. We want to walk holy. We want to walk separate from the world. We don't want to look like the world. And this is what the church is doing. We want to be on our knees before our King and asking forgiveness of our sins and asking for the protection around us so that we can be effective in His hands to bring truth. And if you're just one of these talking truth and you're not doing it, you're a hypocrite. Because He says, blessed are those who do. Don't just listen and hear. And to be deceived, you're deceived. What is a deception? That you're walking with the Lord. You're not, because you would be doing that. Your life should reflect, listen, the relationship that you have with your King. A life changed. A life set apart. God's still working on you. He hasn't given up. He said it is finished at the cross, but He wasn't finished with you. Isn't that great? Like, I haven't arrived. This is it. I'm in trouble. Right? And the same for you. He's not done. We all have scaffolding around us, big sign, under construction. God is working with us. But He works with us. He works with us, in us, and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to surrender that old me to Him, so that He can then use me more effectively. And so He wanted to address this right from the beginning. Now we're in our text in the book of Acts. We're in a new land, like the nation of Israel, right? They come into the promised land. He says, have nothing to do with all of these things, because they will kill you. And we're now in a new country. We're in not in a new physical land, but spiritual. The church was formed as an entirely new entity. And just as sin had to be dealt with so severely and pointedly in the Old Testament, as we've talked about Achan, so too a powerful point is important in the beginning of the church, the New Testament. God is saying, I'm going to make a severe point at this point in time in order that you might get the point for all time. Remember that, right? He showed judgment in the beginning. Can it happen now? There's sin unto death. God could take you out. Never said He wouldn't. And fear came upon the people. And many people were in reverence of the church, but they wouldn't come in because they were in fear. They weren't ready to surrender their lives. What if you knew that you would drop dead if you ever lied again? Wow. See, the issue is that we'll lie, but there was no repentance there. There was no, and he caused his wife to sin. And perhaps they were leaders in the church. We don't know. It doesn't give us any more details. But there was a reason why God took them out in the beginning. And He uses them as an example. What was the lesson? Hypocrisy kills. Listen, hypocrisy kills. Jesus hammered the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. Jesus ate with sinners. He hung out with the publicans and the tax collectors. But when He said, woe unto you, it was only for and directed to the spiritual religious hypocrites. The Greek word for hypocrite is hypocrite, which means one who wears a mask. Those who are two-faced. They looked one way with the mask on and another in real life. And Jesus love to be around real people. He wants you to tell Him, I'm failing, Lord, help me. He wants you to cry out to Him for help. Have you ever cried out to the Lord for help? I mean, have you ever been doing something? Because I have. I've been brushing my teeth and then knelt down in the bathroom and prayed to God. And I'm not lifting myself up. I was broken of myself. And at that very moment, God, I need you, help me. Does that make us weak? No, that makes us strong. Because our strength is not depending on ourselves, but now it's depending on Him. Go to the Lord and pray and worship Him. I mean, there's kneelers in this church. I, coming from a Catholic background, when communion was out, everybody knelt and prayed. Now, we're not kneeling to an altar or to a priest or anything, but in Protestant churches today, I don't think anybody's kneeling anytime. We can kneel and pray. It doesn't make you any more holier or spiritual. I'm not saying that. But in your heart, man, we want to cry out to God. We want to fall on our face and praise him, thank him for what he's done. Because listen, things are going to get difficult in the world. I would not be a good pastor if I did not warn you of that. The scripture is being unfolded in time. It could be another 10, 20 years. I don't think so. Things are snowballing fast, and God's going to call us home. We're not fearing judgment from God, so we have to commit today to do what God has called us to do because the time is running out. The king is coming. The king is coming. Are you ready? The answer, if you're a born-again believer, is absolutely. And your prayer and your song is, come, Jesus, come. Who wants to stay here? Ukraine is a picture of what the entire world will look like. We won't be here. We have a message for those who are lost. Tell them the good news of the gospel. Now, it doesn't lie on your shoulders to save them because you can't. It doesn't lie on your shoulders to change them because you can't. But you have a responsibility to tell them about Christ. Jesus told the disciples to go into all the earth and teach them everything that he taught us. Make disciples, followers of Christ. Well, it starts with you. It starts with your example of your life. Why would anybody follow you, right? Ask that question. Why would anybody follow me? Well, let me tell you why somebody would follow you. Because you have the message of hope. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And when you tell them what God has, look what God has done, that gives them hope. That gives them something to look to, look forward to, turn to. You don't have to tell them the whole teaching of the word. Bring them to church. I'll do it. And the Holy Spirit is going to make it grow. And it's going to grow at his pace. And if you're a new believer and you're struggling, struggle is a good thing. Struggling makes you strong. Struggling makes you dependent upon the Lord because you know you can't do it by yourself. And you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. Our time is running out. Our time is running out. Not that destruction is coming on the church. The church is going to be entering paradise. We have reserved seats at the supper of the Lamb. There's a chair for you. You know, sometimes you come into the church and you'll see a sign that says reserved. And it's usually up front, the best seats, or maybe in a theater or something like that. And almost always, it's not for you, right? It's for someone else. You ever feel that way? Man, nobody reserves a chair for me. You have a seat at his table reserved for you. And he didn't drink the cup at the Last Supper. He says, I will wait. I won't drink of this cup of the fruit until I drink it with you in paradise. Wow, we have so much that's waiting for us. And what's there? Oh, we only know a little bit what he's told us. But if we can look at the Grand Canyon and the sky with all the stars and just marvel at God's creation, just imagine what paradise is going to look like. This is a fallen, depraved, sinful earth. Imagine what paradise is going to be with no sin, no sorrow, no suffering. A relationship daily, walking with the Lord. In the middle of the New Jerusalem is a tree. Now, I love fruit. When I got saved on that Wednesday night on the way to work the next day, I was eating an apple, and I've told the story. And it's like I never had an apple in my life before. But it meant so much more to me that day now that I was saved from my sin. And I'm eating this apple in my car, and I'm looking at the Lord. It's so red. It's so beautiful. It tasted so good to me. And I've had apples all my life. But that particular time, I looked at what beautiful things that God has created. Well, in the tree in the middle of the river in the New Jerusalem is a tree that bears a different fruit every month. 12 different fruits every month and forever. Isn't that great? Now, I think some of the fruit's going to be porterhouse steaks, but we'll see, right? We'll see what God's going to do for us. But we have so much, listen, to hope for. So much to hope for. And so often we come to church and we're thinking about everyone else. Oh, so-and-so should have heard that message. That's me. I've done that, right? Oh, so-and-so should have been here. Or this person should have been here. Because I see who's not here and who is here. Oh, that person should have been here. The message is for you. It's you and the Lord. We are the ones who to come to him with empty, pure hands and a pure heart. And come to the Lord and say, Lord, here, use me. I am imperfect. And he knows that. But it's even more important that we know it. We know we're imperfect vessels. And we need the Lord to help us to live, to walk, and listen, to be empowered by his Spirit, to walk with him. And so we see that in the beginning, as the church grows, the need to judge and cleansing from sin is so important. Why? Hypocrisy is sin. It's deception. Deception is not a fib. It's not a mistake. It's a lie. We change the names of sin to make them more palatable, right? It is sin. It's deadly. Jesus died for that. The Lamb was slaughtered for sin. Hypocrisy will kill your witness, your testimony. You know, after I got saved, I went to work. I've told the story. I told everybody, and they all laughed at me, and I was Bible thumper, Bible boy, and they couldn't wait to throw the jabs at me. And, you know, I was the one who would tell all the dirty jokes and stuff and you know, yuck it up and everybody laughing and things like that. But now I've stopped that, but, you know, they would start telling jokes, and some of them were funny, right? And you start laughing. All of a sudden, you're right in the mix with them. Be careful. Be careful. Because they're going to say, you didn't change. You're just like us. You didn't change. Nothing happened to you. You know, you did your baptism. We baptized a young lady the other day. Praise the Lord for that. We're going into the watery grave, declaring publicly what God has done inside. We go into the watery grave, and we rise anew in Christ Jesus to live for him. That's supposed to show in your life. But if we're doing it, going along with the world's ways, hypocrisy will kill your testimony. I don't believe it. You're a liar. You know, different from me. You say one thing at church, praise the Lord, but in work, you say the same things. Be careful. Hypocrisy will kill your testimony. Hypocrisy will kill your peace. The bondage of hypocrisy is the fear of being found out. Wow, if they only knew, if they only saw. You know, as a young policeman, I wish I would have had a chaplain stand in the roll call and warn you, be careful. Be careful what you do, because God sees it and you can't get away with anything. I never did anything criminal. I'm not talking about that. But I was cold-hearted and calculated. And I was mean. And I don't know why. But then when I became a believer, everything changed. I began to look at people as Jesus did. They need you, Lord. They need help. They need forgiveness. And there were many people that I drove to the Broward County Jail and arrested them that I gave the salvation message that they said in the back of my police car. Whether they meant it or not, I don't know, but I was doing my part. And I began to fill my police car with dolls and toys and things, and I was like Santa Claus sometimes, just passing stuff out. I'm not lifting myself up. I'm showing you an example of a changed life. What happened? You hated everybody. And now look what God has done. So it's not hypocrisy. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. But don't stay there. Hypocrisy will kill your peace, because you'll always be hiding. And you'll always be in fear that you'll be found out. Like, I don't have to worry about the IRS knocking on my door. I don't have to worry. I have an accountant. We pay our taxes. Everything the church is doing, it is legitimate. We have an accountant. And I can rest in peace, not worrying, oh, no. What if they find out? They're not going to find out. Because we're walking in honoring the Lord. It'll kill your witness. Nobody wants to hear from you. Because you're just like us, it'll kill your peace, and it'll kill your joy. There's no joy in hypocrisy, because it's a lie, it's sin, and it's like a cancer or leprosy. It'll begin to grow, and it'll begin to fester. And if you lied about this, you'll lie about that. If you're a hypocrite here, you'll be a hypocrite there. And God wanted to purify the church. He wanted them to see that he deals with sin. And he wants us to deal with the sin that we have. We have a sin nature. We were naturally born into sin. It wasn't our choice. But he didn't leave us in that fallen state. He's given us a way out, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, I was born this way, and you're absolutely right. That's why you need to be born again. Born again of the Spirit of God. We all have the tendencies to sin. We all do. We haven't been redeemed physically. These gray hairs moving in are proof. My joints are killing me as I stand up here. We've been redeemed spiritually. He will call us home, and then everything will be perfect. Perfect, the way it was supposed to be with him forever. That's our hope. Where we're going is paradise with our Creator. And that's the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. Adam and Eve walk with God. God provided for them. They had no wants, no needs until, listen, they sinned. And they were set apart from their Creator.